We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
The sound of the final buzzer means it's hangover time. So grab a drink and join your host, Alphonse Sidney, for a Miami Heat Beat post-game show.
I'm Alphonse Sidney, a.k.a. Alf954. I am your host of Hangover Time on the Miami Heat Beat Twitch channel. We're here at the after the Heat lose by 8 to the juggernaut Minnesota Timberwolves, who are 14-42. But okay, we did play that at home. I played them at home where they're 9-19. I've been told I'm too negative. I've been told I'm too hard on the guys. I've been told that, you know, it's early, that, you know, these problems will fix themselves in the playoffs. This, that, and the third. I've been told everything. Everyone tells me, Alf, why are you so negative? Why are you so negative? They'll win a game by 2 points against a trash team, and I'm upset afterwards because this offense is fucking putrid. And they say, Alf, why are you so mad? Why are you so mad? This is why I'm fucking mad. This game right here, you played the Timberwolves in a game you need to fucking win. Because you are sinking down the ladder of the fucking East Coast playoff picture, Eastern Conference playoff picture, and you're just, it's worse and worse game by game as other teams are winning. Boston is coming around. You need to beat the fucking Timberwolves. You need to beat them, right? And first of all, you play like shit the whole game. And then you come into the fourth quarter with a 5-point lead somehow, some way. After playing like hot garbage. And you know what lineup you throw out there for me to watch? Like, for the fucking cable I pay American money for. They threw out a fucking lineup of Gabe Vincent, Max Strus, Goran Dragic, Tyler Hero, and Precious Achiuwa. That I paid money for. I pay for fucking cable every month. And that's the fucking lineup you put out there with a 5-point lead. And guess what? Shockingly, the lead goes away. And now with 8 minutes left, you bring fucking Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, and Trevor Ariza back in to fucking save your ass. And guess what? It didn't fucking happen. This team has a ton of fucking issues. And we can sit here and sugarcoat shit and lie about shit and fucking pretend shit ain't happening. Oh, Tyler's a sophomore. Yeah. Shut the fuck up. I know Tyler's a sophomore, but they're counting on him. They brought in one guard in the offseason, Avery Bradley, because they expected Tyler Hero to make this leap. Okay? It ain't Tyler's fault. It ain't the fan base's fault. It's the fucking Heat's fault. Plain and goddamn simple. Like, stop getting mad at me because I am disappointed in Tyler's production. The Miami Heat organization told you over the summer that a short offseason for an injured Goran Dragic wasn't going to be a big deal. A heavy fucking load for Jimmy Butler wasn't going to be a big deal because fucking goddamn it, Tyler Hero was coming to the fucking rescue. That's what they told you when the only guard they picked up was Avery fucking Bradley. And so don't get mad at me when I'm frustrated when this motherfucker is a minus 25 in 23 minutes. A minus 25. The next worst was a minus 8 for Gabe Vincent. Like, get the fuck out of my face with you're too hard on Tyler. It's not Tyler's fault I'm hard on Tyler. It's the Heat's fault I'm hard on Tyler. Because they said they didn't need guards. They went out and got Precious instead of Desmond Bane because they didn't need guards. You don't need guards. You have this fucking you're deep at the guard fucking position with Kendrick Nunn, who couldn't fucking guard me, with Tyler Hero, who couldn't fucking guard me, with Goran Dragic, who couldn't fucking guard me. They're deep at the guard position with Gabe Vincent, who's a G leaguer. They're deep at the guard position. You don't need Desmond Bane. That now at the trade deadline, oh, the Heat don't need Kyle Lowry. Oh, you have the fucking future. Well, what about the fucking present? You just fucking got your ass whooped by the goddamn Timberwolves. I'm sorry. Bring me out, Brass. Listen, I didn't mean to go on that long. I mean, what am I being too harsh? It's Drip Drop fucking Friday. We're supposed to be having a good time, but I had to watch Max Strus, Gabe Vincent, Tyler Hero, Goran Dragic, and Precious Achiuwa start a fucking fourth quarter on cable that I pay for. It wasn't a legal stream. I paid for that shit tonight.
We're all paying for this terrible week of basketball, staying up late watching these fucking
motherfucker. What is everybody drinking, Brass? Y'all better be drinking some hard shit tonight. Let's go. God damn it, man. I don't know if y'all think I'm being too harsh out here. I'm gonna get the YouTube fucking the YouTube comment saying Alpha's too negative. Alpha, you're being too negative. Oh, Tyler's 23. Shut the fuck up. Well, Tyler's 21. I don't give a fuck how old Tyler is. They're depending on him, and he's a minus 25. It's hard to do that shit. Only Precious Achiuwa can get those kind of numbers. Anyway, Moose, what are you drinking tonight?
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight I'm going to drink like my father. And drink away the disappointment. I gotta hit him one time with a drink. Drop.
Let's go. By the way, me and Moose rocking the Drip Drop merch.
I got one on.
Oh, you got it?
Yeah, I got it.
Y'all want to hit up the Drip Drop merch? Go to store.miamiheatbeat.com. I think that's the site.
should be
close enough.
Go look it up. You'll find it. If you want this shit, you'll find it. Tiff, I'm drinking.
There you go.
Crown Royal and ginger ale. Tiff, what are you drinking tonight?
So, I got my Tito's back, my fresh lime and lemon. But I also want to say, when I watch comedies, I like to eat. So tonight, I'm having dark chocolate covered almonds from Trader Joe's.
There you go.
This shit gets you through it every time.
There you go. I might need to hit up some of that for the rest of this fucking season if Victor Oladipo don't come back. Brass, what are you drinking tonight? Please don't tell me you wasted no fucking energy on a drink tonight.
I did.
You should just be taking straight fucking shots of rubbing alcohol.
I did the minimal amount of cocktailing tonight. I made an old fashioned because, again, as I said before, too many times a season, this was a good old fashioned ass whooping that we are too familiar with.
Jack, what are you drinking tonight?
I've got a couple things kind of double fisting it right now because we just got double fisted by the Minnesota Timberwolves. I've got a Shiner Bock here and I've got a Ranch Water here, so a little bit of a Texas two step.
Jack, you asshole. I love you, Jack.
I honestly don't even feel like the I don't even think the Timberwolves were like trying to win that bad.
Right.
Like they were just, I mean, neither like, were the Heat.
Yo, the Timberwolves was like, we trying to get in the lottery, motherfuckers.
Yeah, that nigga just fell into a win. Like,
right. You guys sure you don't want to take this? You don't want it?
Well, I mean, if you want it, I mean, if you don't want this shit, we could take it. You know what I mean?
Mother. You want to answer this question by Fast Butter? Said, who is going to hold Spo accountable? Who?
I will.
Go ahead, Jack.
If nobody else will, I will. It's fucking Alex Toledo. He dropped the ball this season, and it's his fault we lost to the Timberwolves, honestly. You can blame Bam. You can blame Spo. But at the top of everything, it's Alex Toledo of Locked On Heat. He's just dropping the ball. It's fucking ridiculous. This cowardice at the journalism profession. Ernie Pyle would be fucking sick.
I don't even know who Ernie Pyle is.
I don't either, but I love it.
War correspondent. I mean, IU grad.
Jimmy Butler gave you 30, 10, and 8 on 39 minutes with one turnover. Three steals, a block, and you lose to the Timberwolves. I mean, what in the Moose? What in the entire fuck did I just watch tonight? Like,
okay, listen. Right. Here's the thing. So
three losses in a row, by the way.
I was preparing for Moose at the movies today, and I felt really good after that first quarter. I was like, okay, cool. Let me, you know, get my shit ready. I can focus on this.
How many times have we said that this week?
Yeah, I come back after a few minutes and I'm like, what the fuck just happened? Everything went to hell. The team is, it looks like they're not even playing. It's just, they look exactly like the fucking jerseys they're wearing. And it's just atrocious. It's awful. Brass, take me out. I don't even want to talk about this game.
Tiff.
Yes.
I mean, we have. You know what's funny? It's like I feel like me and you have been on the same wavelength. There's times we've disagreed. You know what I mean? But we've said for, you know, the whole year, the Heat need a three-level score. The Heat need to stop switching every fucking thing. They need to stop leaving Bam on the perimeter and fucking guys like Jimmy Butler and Duncan Robinson to guard guys like Cat, you know, in the middle. Tonight, the Heat were out-rebounded 45-33. Again, Bam Adebayo had 4 rebounds.
It's hard to rebound when you're above the 3-point line. I mean, it's hard to rebound when you're guarding Ricky Rubio.
Well, we gotta switch. We can't let Ricky Rubio go off, for God's sake. Fuck Cat. Fuck Carl Anthony Towns. We gotta switch on this nigga Ricky Rubio before he goes fucking ham on us.
Scramble situation.
Yes. What in the goddamn hell are we doing?
They're not good. They're just good. Not good in any facet of the game. Because everybody's getting hyped after these first quarters, and it's like, I didn't. I literally watched that first quarter and I said, okay, looks like the last 3 nights.
I've seen this movie before and I know how it ends.
I saw this movie before. I know who wrote it, the motherfucker that directed it, who did Craft Services.
I want my fucking money back.
The best boy grip. I've seen. Exactly.
And guess what? We know what's coming back around. And the reality is, Jimmy's not going to be able to carry it. That pail is getting heavier and heavier and heavier. He's not. He gave us everything he had in the playoffs, and he showed us with competent help, this is what I could do for you.
But don't blow a lead that we shouldn't even have, and then bring me back in with 8 minutes left with Tyler Duncan, with Tyler Duncan shit, whatever. Fuck it. I'll call him Tyler Duncan. Trevor Ariza and Bam, and try to get this lead back. And against a team, Brass, that you keep giving confidence to. And this is my thing. Like, you keep giving these sorry motherfuckers confidence. Instead of taking a 5-point lead that you didn't deserve into the fourth quarter and stepping on their goddamn necks and beating the fuck out of them and putting them away, what you did was put out the worst fucking NBA lineup I have seen since the Globetrotters versus the fucking Washington Generals. Like, that was a comically bad lineup to start the fourth. And you lost that 5-point lead. And now Jimmy, oh shit, with 8 minutes left, Jimmy, come back and save us. After we've given these sorry fuckers named Vanderbilt and all these stupid sumbitches, we gave them all the confidence in the world.
Everyone thinks that, well, once games really start to matter and we get the playoffs, you know, they'll be able to put their foot on the gas. They'll get back to
They mattered 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, I know.
Once games start to matter.
This team doesn't have it right now. And honestly, I won 5 Arizas.
No. Yes.
We squandered all-star caliber performance by Trevor Ariza tonight. Shameful.
It just doesn't matter. I keep telling people, you can either play defense, you can try and play defense, or you just can't. So you got guards that can't defend. You got guards that just keep, I don't understand the jumping in the air and passing the ball with no one to pass it to. I don't understand how we can't set a logical pick. That means you just stand still. You don't move your feet. You don't move your arms. You just stand there. As a junior high coach will tell you, hug yourself. Easy. Just hug yourself if you're sure you can't do it. Just hug yourself.
Nah, we got to make it hard. We got to get fucking
That's too
cute.
Easy.
Like, we I don't understand.
That's not the heat everything. Way.
we getting so... Listen, Jack, I feel like we're getting so cute with shit. Like, that fourth quarter lineup was some cute shit, and I don't understand it. Like, I don't understand... Okay, there's a head coach, and there's like 5 assistant coaches. There's ball boys. There's towel boys. There's motherfuckers all over the fucking place. Somebody
should have security guard.
Yeah, the ball dude. Somebody should have went, Spo, hey, motherfucker. What the fuck are you doing? What is this shit? Like, and I know it's 4 minutes out of an entire game, but it's like a microcosm of the season where you just think you're better than you really are. And that's how I feel about this team sometimes.
Well, I want to get out ahead of this because we do have some easier games coming up. Obviously,
it's going to get easier than this.
Tonight was an easy game.
No, but I signed up for it. If you look at our schedule, there are some easier games. So all I'm saying is I wouldn't be shocked if this team could string together 2 or 3 wins.
But that's who, yeah.
No, but
don't get fooled.
But don't get fooled.
There you go.
I don't want to see any of you in our fucking
Somebody
clip
that
crying.
In the Twitch chat.
Yes.
See, I told you this team is fucking is solid, man. You guys were just freaking out over nothing.
Over we nothing. Over
a large enough
fans get upset
size.
Over nothing. Man.
And honestly, one of the most telling things to me is Ryan Cortez tweeted out embarrassing.
Yeah, and that
that's what has me freaking
right,
out.
Right.
That yeah. has me upset. I'm like shook. I'm gonna cry myself to sleep.
I want a gif of Brass saying "Don't get fooled." Like I want that, like because I'm gonna put it up every time we beat another New York. Yeah, like I think we're Jack. I think we're 9-22 against teams over 500, something like that, and 3 of them are against the Knicks.
Fucking embarrassing.
It's all right, Brass.
Fucking embarrassing. I mean, this is right, the worst Brass. Team in the NBA. They're tied with Houston for the worst team in the NBA.
And we play Houston.
3 games. And we play Houston. And, I mean, Brass is talking about an easy stretch of games coming up. And, yeah, don't get fooled. But the thing is, they're at 500 again for, like, the millionth time this season after rising above 500. They get a little nice stretch. You think something's coming. And then they lose Oladipo or something like that. Everything comes crashing down. Just wind out of their sails. So back at 500, and then they play the Nets next. The Nets are probably the most talented team in the NBA, and they might win. They might beat the Nets, and I'm going to put that within the realm of possibility. Even then, I wouldn't get fooled. I would say...
Within the realm of fool's gold.
Yeah, I mean, any given night, they do have talent on the roster. I do think, like, this is just not a very good team. But, like, Bam and Jimmy, and then some confluence of Duncan and Tyler just having a hot game... Like, that can happen. This is a streaky team. It's not going to happen for 4 straight quarters. But with their defense and with, like, a couple of quarters of hot shooting from some of their shooters, they can beat the Nets. Still doesn't mean shit because they've been hovering around 500. Meanwhile, the Celtics look kind of normal again. Like, they don't look wonderful, but they're surging again. And now you're at the bottom of the East, and you're looking at a play-in game If Oladipo doesn't come back, Oladipo can change a lot of things. Like, I do think right. Oladipo fixes a lot of things, like a surprising amount of things. I don't think he fixes everything. He doesn't get them back to what they were last year, but he does fix a lot of issues for them.
He fixes a lot. Like, if Oladipo comes back, I have a different fucking, I'm sorry, Moose, you want to say something? Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I agree with you that if Oladipo comes back, that changes things. But let's be honest, we're at a point in the season now where he needs to come back today. Like, we're, we're running out of fucking time here.
Bro. About 12 like, minutes ago,
babe. I mean, seriously.
games ago, he should have been back.
Yeah, like, I have been saying all year long, like, don't worry, we're going to hit our stride. We're going to get in this rhythm. We're out of fucking time. Find your rhythm. This ship is fucking sinking right now. Drip, drop. Like, grab a life raft. Like, this shit is... I'm freaking out, all right?
They need the fourth seed really bad, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't trust them against the Bucks. I know everybody talks about that being a favorable matchup.
The Bucks are better this year.
Bucks team. This is, the Bucks are much better this year. We're a lot worse. And I know it's a favorable matchup, Bam versus Giannis, but that 6-3 matchup, I would not put any money on that. That 4-5 is... They need to be at a 4-5 matchup if they're going to have a hope of getting out of the first round.
Well, okay. I during this whole – remember when they were on a winning streak and I was out here calling the shit fool's gold and Tiff was out here calling it fool's gold? And it wasn't like we were upset at the win streak. We were just like, guys, there's a lot of games against the Knicks. You know what I mean? Like, they climbed out of the cellar of the Eastern Conference by beating bad teams by 2 points, 96-94. You know what I mean? Like – we were saying this, and everyone said we were too negative, right? So I before we get into anything else, remember, this is a Drip Drop Friday. We do this on the weekends where we take shots for subs. So hit us with the subscriptions. Brass is going to call them out. Brass, do we have any subs? I need to get some shots.
We need a drink tonight.
We do read more books. Subscribe for a 1 month tier.
All right, Reed.
Thank you.
Okay.
Reed. All right, Moose, get a shot. That's gotta you.
Hit him one time for reading Rainbow. Drip drop.
Anybody else?
Oh, Eric the Great 539 gave out 3 tier one subs. Mm.
Oh shit! I'll be right back. I need to get some.
Eric the goat.
Eric is the goat.
Yeah, Eric is the shit.
Here, I'll do a shot for that. Hit. Mm-hmm. Drip drop.
I love it. That is the only authorized backup.
Tiff, are you yes. happy?
Oh, I'm exuberant. I'm joyful. I'm just. Woo. If I was at church right now, I'd be dancing. Mm-hmm. Okay. Jesus. That's how I feel right now. I'm happy.
So
I don't like to gloat.
I went to the Walmart liquor store, and for a dollar, they gave me the holiday pack of Jim Beam.
For a dollar?
Yeah, for a dollar.
That's a damn good deal.
For a dollar.
Yeah, and they were like, do you want this for a dollar? I'm like, yes.
Hell yeah.
I mean.
Hey, how many of them you got? I got a $10 bill. That was the last one. I would have taken $10. I mean, I don't even like Jim Beam, but it's alcohol.
It's a dollar.
The way they play the Jim Beam, I mean, come on.
Okay, we got some subs here.
Here we go.
Alonzo Informs gave out 5 tier one subs.
All right, Alonzo.
Big Spence 6331 gave out 5 tier one subs. Big Spence 6331.
All right, Big.
BB Honeycake, subscribe for 1 month.
I ain't calling no grown man Honeycake.
All right, Honeycakes.
I got Jim Beam.
Oh, there you go, Alf. You take that one.
Yeah, all you right. do it.
Boom.
You take that one.
Honeycakes. Hit him one time with the discount liquor. Drip drop.
And Brian M. gave out 5 tier one subs. One
Brian, you know we needed it. Special. There we go, Brian. Hey, Honeycakes.
I got a surprise for y'all.
Yeah, watch that.
Because there's no Frankie, there's no Siobhan tonight. I have an ALF breakdown for y'all.
Oh, and
we like to call this ALF's eye test.
Tired of PER, EFG, QBR, PDQ, and QVC?
Wait, what?
Well, ditch the calculators and spreadsheets and check out the only stat that truly matters. It's time for ALF's eye test.
Because these shits are always delayed for me.
Okay, you ready for this, Alf?
All right, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. All right, so this motherfucker, D'Angelo, dribbling the ball up. Okay, stop. Go back. This is such a small thing. But tell me why the fuck we switched here. Someone explain this. Go ahead, play it, Braz. D'Angelo Russell, who, I mean, you got a scheme against him, right? Simple pick, and we switched, right? Why?
They didn't even try to fight over it.
They go back. Go back and show the lack of fight and just like.
No, you go ahead. You got it. Go ahead.
There was no reason to switch.
Teamwork.
Okay, stop it right here, Brass. All right. So now Cat catches the ball and it's against Ariza. So now you switch and you're so panicked about Ariza against Cat that you go down and you first of all, you start digging and then you go to the straight double team trap. So if you were that worried about Cat in the first place, why the fuck did you switch off of him? So go ahead and play it. Let's see what happens. Okay, we're digging a little bit. We're walking. Oh no! Panic! Oh, here's.
Leave the shooter.
Why the fuck did you switch off of Cat? If you were that worried.
By the way.
That was.
I'm sorry. I'm not Siobhan or Frankie.
No. That was perfect.
But what the fuck are you doing? If you're that worried, if you don't think Ariza can handle Cat, don't switch. It was an off-ball pick from some, this was no bruiser coming at you, knocking you off of your position. I don't even know what that white guy's name is. That
number 39.
Yeah, number 39.
That's what he is in the media playbook.
Knocked you out of your defense, this creative player, and now you're completely out of position, and now you're panicking because Ariza's on Cat. Bitch, you put Ariza on Cat.
Exactly.
And now you left D'Angelo Russell.
Is that true, Brass?
Yeah, is that a real stat? Can we confirm that?
Is that real?
That is real.
Because if that's true.
It says the Heat bench has been out scored 165-83 the past three games.
I can be your hero.
I skipped the word bench when reading it. I just thought the Heat had scored 83 points in the past three games, and I had to think about it for a second.
It feels right.
That feels like second quarter. Like, if that feels like second quarters over the last month. Like,
if that's right,
I wouldn't be surprised. But
they deep, though.
Yeah, the Heat bench scored 18, 22.
Yeah, so am I, AA.
25 tonight. The Heat bench scored 25 tonight. They scored two. Hernan Gomez and Vanderbilt scored fucking 23 by themselves.
Yo,
all stars.
Yo, Nas Vanderbilt.
Reed, the 39,
41. They had 52 off the bench to our 25.
Yo, Vanderbilt or whatever that dude's name is, he gave them the business. He went in there and just basically told Precious, sit your ass down. This is my rebound.
14 rebounds.
He went in there and snatched everybody's chain off.
14 rebounds in 22 minutes for Vanderbilt.
He went in there and deboed everybody.
Has UD been on the bench yet? Is he back in the fold?
I saw him tonight. I saw him tonight on the bench.
Does it matter?
Okay. Well, watching Tyler just clang all the threes in sight just made me, like, I would rather watch UD shoot threes at this point.
Yeah, if this is his last year, let him get some
kidding.
Run.
I'm not even kidding.
But here's my thing, Brass. The guys who played like shit, Precious, Dragic, and Hero, instead of benching them, you played them with Vincent and Strus. What fucking sense does that make? And I'm not one of these guys. I'm not a fire Spo guy. I usually give Spo the benefit of the doubt. But goddamn it, that's some brain dead fucking shit to do. The three guys that are playing the worst on your team, you say, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna team you up with Gabe Vincent and Max Strus to hold this fucking lead down till Jimmy comes back. What?
I feel like Skyforce wasn't playing this year because I'd love to. Yeah, because they those guys to down be. There.
But I feel like they actually messed up Gabe. Like Gabe was looking all right until. Until those combinations was together.
It's not. I ain't blaming Gabe. I ain't blaming none of them motherfuckers because it's not their fault. that they can't play together. It's like, listen, you put the five of us on the court against the Timberwolves. Is it our fault we get run off the court? No,
we ain't getting run off the court.
Well, you might have something to say, but the other four of us getting run off the court. I ain't gonna make it to the half court without wheezing. Is it my fault?
The court? I'm not getting on the court. Yeah. I'm chilling. I'm fine.
I'm not trying to get elbowed by a fucking 6'5 dude.
Chill with that. Like, I watch the game, homie. All right.
Is it our fault or is it fault of the motherfucker that put us in thinking we could hold the lead against the Timberwolves?
Right. It's everybody's fault. Like, I'm just going to keep it real. It's the coaching staff. It's the players. It's everybody. Because at some point, I mean, you there, so you must know how to do something. You can either rebound, you can shoot, you could play defense, you could box out, you could draw hard fouls. You should be able to do something.
Do something.
Do something.
Hold on, more of this honey shit.
I mean, come on. They there for a reason. So they got to know how to do something. So, yeah, Spo fucked up, but the players fucked up too. Like, if the three ain't falling, take a step in.
It ain't. I will say.
Go to the basket. How about you just drive to the fucking basket? Try and dunk it, all right? Remember when everyone used to dunk the ball? Why don't we see that anymore?
I mean, they shot 40% from three. The three wasn't a problem tonight. The three wasn't a problem. The problem was you ain't D nobody up.
You ain't get no boards. But rebounding don't matter. Remember everybody told me that?
Everyone said rebounding doesn't matter.
They told me, don't worry about rebounds. You don't need rebounds.
You played some of the worst.
No rebounds, no rings. Never forget that.
The lack of Iguodala on the bench just caused some of the weirdest decisions. Somebody put in the chat that they played Strus at the four. And that they weren't joking.
No, he was at the four for a minute. Mm-hmm.
For the beginning of the fourth quarter. When you lost your lead.
And it's funny how, because Iggy's hurt. He's hurt. He's been laboring. But it's so funny how everybody was like, he old. He can't do this. He can't do that. Y'all miss his ass now.
But the thing was always, Iggy can't be your solution night in and night out. And that's the whole thing. And so tonight, listen, I'm going to harp on that lineup to start the fourth for this one game. But this is just it's indicative of the entire fucking season. Yeah. It is a team that can't score, a team that's putrid offensively, a team that came into the season relying on guys like Iggy and Goron and putting the entire load on Jimmy's back, and then also saying we're going to get this huge leap from Tyler and Bam. That is a risky fucking gamble. And I will say they went into the trade deadline and they addressed the issues. And yes. I feel a lot better when if and when Depot comes back. But this is the team that we have been complaining about since December. Through winning streaks, through hot streaks, through when they climbed out of seven games under 500. They were getting on us.
Yep.
They were killing us. They were saying we're too negative. And we were like, this ain't it. But you know, this is the team.
This is it.
And but if I,
all
like
we
I
got.
But Jack, if Vic comes back, I feel a lot better.
Yeah, I mean, it's fucking ridiculous how easy a fix a lot of these things are, which is just they should have gotten a guard in the offseason that wasn't fucking Avery Bradley. Like somebody could consistently play. Yeah. Avery Bradley, the reason like when I found out about the signing, like I texted Brass immediately. Like, this is fucking ridiculous. I wasn't taking Tinder pics.
I'm just saying you were something.
I was taking a picture for Dos Minutos.
Was it Bumble?
I sent it to Dos.
That's crazy.
Avery Bradley signing was ridiculous because, like, he hadn't been able to be consistently available in years, and the reason you sign a guy like that is to be consistently available. Oladipo's a little different because he costs nothing. But again, that's a guy who's like not consistently available. They need a body who can allow Goron to rest, who can...
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to... I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture-themed trophies for six basketball-related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some, But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Take some pressure off of Tyler. Take some pressure off off of Duncan. And then that fixes a lot of their issues, just not having to rely on none and Gabe Vincent as much as they should, because those are not players you can rely on. It's a quick fucking fix, but they're so far away from it because who are they going to get? Depot might come back, but I don't trust him to stay healthy. I think, honestly, have you seen this Jazz kid? I might just start watching the Marlins.
We are very close to becoming a Marlins post-game show.
Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball player strikes out when the bases are loaded. The best golfer sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you're coming up short in the bedroom, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21 now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you for free with two-day shipping. And the whole process is discreet and straightforward. Getting started is simple. Go get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21 and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete the online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21 to get $15 off your first month. Look, that's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. Get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21. Go get started to save $15 on your first month of treatment.
I'm going to address something. And I'm going to put myself out there. Should have traded Tyler Hero for Kyle Lowry.
Yeah, for sure.
And you still could have got fucking Victor Oladipo.
I've been saying should have been traded way before Kyle Lowry came into the picture.
So now I'm not mad at Tyler Hero. The reason you should have traded Tyler Hero for Kyle Lowry is because you fucked the offseason up by bringing in Avery Bradley as your only guard. You fucked up back then, and the only way to not just punt on a Jimmy Butler fucking MVP type season was to go ahead and go get a vet that can go do something for you. I guarantee you Kyle Lowry wouldn't have been a minus 25 tonight. I guarantee you that Kyle Lowry is – I don't know if Tyler Hero will ever be as good as Kyle Lowry is this season. And I know I'm going to get heat for that shit. I don't give a fuck. I don't know if – unless he puts on 30 pounds of muscle, starts finishing in traffic. I know it hurts, Moose. But Tyler Hero to me is a luxury. When you have a guy like Goran Dragic out here scoring 20 points a game in the playoffs,
right?
Tyler Hero becomes this really awesome luxury to have. But when you are depending on Tyler Hero, because Goran Dragic is who he is, he's old and no one should have ever expected him to have the kind of offensive production that he had after a three-month break in the bubble. And we saw he couldn't even get through the bubble healthy. After the shortest offseason in history, whoever thought he was going to come back and be a trailblazer, you're kidding yourself. And now you're relying on Tyler Hero. It's not Tyler Hero's fault he should have been traded for Kyle Lowry. It's the Heat's fault, but he still should have been traded for Kyle Lowry. You still should have brought in Victor Oladipo, and you would have a much better chance of being a contender this season than you do right now. Right. Because even if Victor Oladipo went out injured, he would have been a luxury at that point if you had Kyle Lowry. Tiff, They don't have a fucking point guard.
No. Well, and not even, let's just say, I won't even say you had to trade him for Kyle, but he's the one piece that you are going to trade. You're not trading Bam, and you're not trading Jimmy. Right. You needed a third player. You needed a third go-getter. He's the one piece that can't be moved. So, you know, it's not like, oh, he's dog shit or he's never going to materialize. It's not his fault. And we don't know the future, but we know right now he's the one commodity that you could have moved.
Yes, well, again, I prefer what Tip said.
But he still has potential.
He does, but that's why I'm saying it.
That's
he's,
the thing. That's when you move him to trade a player for
exactly
a good player.
But how many times have we talked about that he don't ever trade somebody at their max value?
Oh, every year we say that.
They don't ever sell high?
Yeah.
Because it's the problem with this team is you've got two pieces when they're playing at full force, they're ready to go win right now. And then you've got everybody else that wants to just fill in when they can. This isn't like a no call, no show. No, you got to show up every day.
They don't they don't have time for Tyler Hero to go gain 20 pounds this offseason. Bam does. Jimmy don't have time. Like Jimmy's playing his ass off, and you've surrounded him with a bunch of guys that you have to fucking play magic tricks to get them an open shot. You know what I'm saying? Like listen, for all you people who argue with me that Kendrick Nunn is better than Victor Oladipo, get the fuck out of my mentions and never at me again. Like you're dumb. Somebody said, "Oh, he's a better defender than Victor is at this point." Victor Oladipo
on one leg was better. On one leg,
crutches, he'd be a better defender than Kendrick Nunn was tonight. Like I'm sorry, and like I said, it's not Tyler's fault. I'm not blaming Tyler. I'm blaming the Heat organization for not addressing this need. And the only way to address this need properly was to trade. And honestly,
who trashed KO?
Hold on. Was that the right?
Jeffrey.
You guys trash him. Who's laughing now? I want to clarify something. Yes. Because there's get him, Brass. There's a lot of shit on the timeline about Kelly Olynyk. Oh man, you know,
get him, Brass.
That he got fleeced. You know, Riley got fleeced on this trade. I don't know. I looked yesterday. Pretty sure they're like 2-9 in Houston since it's Houston still fucking sucks. And we've said the whole time he's a looter and a riot. Kelly is good. I like Kelly. It would have been cool to keep Kelly, but you make that fucking trade
every time
you get that fucking trade.
I still make it even knowing this outcome. Exactly. I still make that fucking deal.
Well, you're not that much worse.
Yeah.
You gave up nothing. At least you showed Jimmy that you tried. What can you do? And also, like, with Kelly on this team and Noah Oladipo, I don't think they win any of the games they just lost. Like, I don't think they beat the Timberwolves. I think Bielitsa's been fine. Like, he's not, like, it's not his fault. Like, he's been a fine player. Kelly's good. I really like Kelly. We all really like Kelly. But he's not a difference maker for the Heat right now. Like, he's also, nothing. I'm sorry.
I have said all season that the Heat were better when Kelly Olynyk was on the floor. The problem was that even when Kelly Olynyk was on the floor, they were a 500 team.
Exactly.
You make the trade because the upside of Victor Oladipo. Yeah, we would have won with Kelly. Go ahead. Blow me. we would have won with fucking Victor, too.
We would have been the worst team in the NBA.
Oh, my God. Thank
you. Oh, wow. Cool.
It's so awesome that we beat the... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
One more.
Ball handling load.
Yeah, blow me. We would have... we beat the Knicks with fucking Kelly. Like, that's the thing. Like, they were... The upside of having Victor... We know what Kelly brought you. Kelly brought you a 500 team. Victor is somebody who could take you to another level. So stop with the, we miss Kelly. No, we don't. We don't. We're the same fucking shit team with or without Kelly.
Listen, like, Kelly is a great man. I will hang out with him at Coachella. We'll smoke a J together. We'll chill. We'll go to the kitchen. I know he likes to cook.
Stop, Moose. You don't owe no explanations
on
that.
Right now over Victor.
You don't owe any explanations to that.
And I like Kelly. And I said, I have been saying forever, everyone called me the plus minus Kelly guy, net rating, blah, blah, blah. Everyone made fun of me because I said, they're better when Kelly's on the floor and he's their best option at power forward. I used to get shit on Twitter all the time over it. So don't come here saying that we've been shitting on Kelly, because we have not, or at least I have not. And by the way, and honestly, I still agree with the trade, because fuck Kelly. You weren't winning no fucking chip because Kelly was on your fucking team. Fuck out of here.
If you were told that, you know, if Depot were out when the trade happened and you were told like Depot may or may not come back with like 15 games to go, are you still pulling the trigger?
Send it in.
Yeah.
Send it in.
Yeah. Because it wasn't working with Kelly anyway.
And honestly, I wish I was on the fucking phones when Masai asked for fucking Tyler for Kyle. I'd be like, send that shit in too. I know, Moose. I know it hurts your heart.
I'm going to mute this shit again.
I know it hurts your heart. But you could have fucking had Kyle Lowry and fucking Victor Oladipo instead of fucking Tyler Hero out there with a minus 25 and 4 fucking points on 1-for-7 shooting against the Timberwolves' vaunted defense. Fuck out of here. And I'll say it 1,000 times. It ain't Tyler's fault.
Moose,
what are you doing?
What is
Moose?
That? What are you doing?
What is that?
That's him in the bubble.
Just going nowhere. Going nowhere, shit, by the way.
Shit, you had to go way back in your memory for that, because the bubble was a while ago.
Yeah, doing all that dribbling into a tougher shot.
And people are saying Lowry is like, he's not playing in Toronto. Is that because he's hurt because he's like, guys? Yeah, they're tanking. He's like, they're guys, tanking. He walked off that court before the trade deadline. Crying, people were in tears because he knew like that was his last game with the fucking Raptors.
The one thing I will say, it is really hard for Riley to sit there on the phone with a motherfucker and offer one of your young pieces for Kyle Lowry when these motherfuckers really have no leverage. I get it on Riley's part, like the pride it would have taken to just be like, okay, yeah, I know you're not even going to play this motherfucker for the rest of the season so you can get a better draft pick, but I'm going to give you Tyler Hero for him. To me, if fucking Masai fucked that shit all the way the fuck up.
Masai fucked up for Lowry. Like, that was, it's not cool what he did to Lowry, man. That was some cold shit.
But that was my thing. Yes, I would have traded Ty, but I don't blame Riley for not doing it, because like I would have been like, wait, are you serious, motherfucker? Like, you won't trade me this nigga and you ain't even gonna play him? Like, what are you doing? You know what I mean? Like, you want him to live in Toronto that bad? Nobody wants to live in Toronto that bad. It's cold as shit. So like, basically Masai got nothing for Kyle Lowry, and then now he's not even playing him.
Yeah, he overplayed his hand big time.
Yeah, and honestly, I would have traded Tyler, but I think I can understand why the Heat did it. Like, bitch, you ain't gonna get one of our best young pieces if for a guy you're not even gonna play, you know, to get a better draft pick. But anyway, because tonight was so fucking miserable, we need a pick me up. Whenever we need a pick me up, we go to Moose, because Moose is he's always smiling. He's just a little ray of sunshine over there in his tiny apartment.
Gotta hit him one time for some sunshine.
There we are.
Drip, drop.
So we are going to do our, oh my God, what kind of Jim Beam did I just have?
A 99 cent Jim Beam.
Oh my God, it was that apple. Oh, that was fucking gross. Don't ever drink.
It's inspired culture.
Yeah, don't ever drink this one. Oh, that's fucking disgusting. Why would you want apple in the middle of your fucking liquor? Anyway, let's go to Moose.
We'll take a sponsorship, though.
Unless, hey, if you want to sponsor us, Apple Jim Beam. Oh, it puts hair on your balls. And then you shave them with Manscaped.
There you go.
But anyway, let's go to Moose at the Movies.
One man, two desires. Drip, drop, and cinema.
How we doing, people? That popcorn is so damn good. It's so hard not to eat it when it's just sitting there the entire time.
What's all right? Welcome to.
It's a podcast with Frankie and I where we talk about movies and TVs. They're also a big sponsor of Hangover Time. Yeah, we'll get you on there. We'll talk about it later. Right, man, now it's Moose at the Movies.
You to be a sponsor, you got to cut a check, motherfucker.
It's in the mail.
Okay.
So this week, I want to take us all back to the year 1996. See, the world was a simpler time back then. Bill Clinton had just been reelected president for a second term. The Macarena was sweeping the nation as the hottest song in the country.
Hey, Macarena.
And somewhere in New York City, a 12-year-old boy named Max Connor stumbles upon a magic boombox.
Yes.
And unlocks a 7-foot-tall black genie that had been trapped for thousands, yes, of years. That's right, people. It's time to break down the pinnacle of Shaquille O'Neal's acting, yes, career with the one, the only, Kazam! I worked on that all day. All right. See, in 1996, Shaq had his sights set on Hollywood. Literally. He just joined the Lakers and figured it was time to make a splash on the silver screen.
LeBron. Sorry.
Yeah, it's never been done before. So, of course, Shaq loves the kids, baby. Why not put him in a child's film? Duh. All right. On paper. Exactly. Hey, on paper, this whimsical tale is about a troubled youth dealing with the angst of puberty and the urge to reconnect with his estranged father. But at its core, it's just a fucking shitty movie with no plot, no heart, no real thought process put behind it besides just the idea of like, hey, let's put Shaq in a movie. I mean, listen to this storyline, okay? Right off the bat, we get the classic Disney single parent thing, okay? Max gets bullied from kids at school. He hates his mom's new boyfriend, which, by the way, happens to be the only nice guy in this entire movie. Like, the only guy that actually asks Max, like, hey, buddy, how you doing? How you feeling? It's the only guy that cares about him, all right? He's a firefighter, a real American hero. I lost my place, but I'm back now. Somehow his dad just happens to be back in town working at a nightclub. Some underground seedy black market scheme, like whatever the fuck that is. I don't know. It's somehow connected to the mob. What I can say about this movie, though, is that it must have been a blast for the writers. I mean, you can tell they just had like an infinite supply of cocaine on hand. It was just dramatically shifting storylines like crazy. Like, I'm just picturing the writers basically being like, all right, okay, so we got Shaq, right? And let's make him a genie. Okay, yeah, that's good. And then, okay, but you know what? How about he's a genie for a 12-year-old kid, and he's a 7-foot-tall black man, and he's gonna be following him around everywhere, but nobody questions it. Yeah, that's fucking good. That's really, really good. Okay. And then what about? Okay, no, let's make him a rap star. So he's a genie, he's hanging out with kids, and he's a rapper. God damn, this is fucking good. Cheryl, we need more candy. See what the writers failed to realize? What the writers failed to realize was that we have to like the main character. Yeah, like you have to be, you know, there for the ride and along with him and rooting for him. But this 12-year-old kid just straight up is an asshole. And as much as they try to make us like Max, I mean, it's true. It's just not happened. I mean, he was talking back to his mother the entire time. He was skipping school, wandering throughout the city late into the night. And even the way he treats his genie, he straight up says to him these exact words. So until I make my wishes, I own you.
Wow.
Really, motherfucker? Wow. Really, motherfucker? Max is basically a plantation owner with a Sega Genesis and some ripped jeans. I mean, but what the fuck?
Moose, but was that not every white kid in 90s movies?
You know what? Yes, but we're focusing on this one. But come, okay, back to me on Screen Beat where we're going to do a special pod.
Because I'm thinking Jungle to Jungle and fucking a lot. That was Jonathan Taylor Thomas in every fucking movie he was ever in.
Yes. Oh, my God. 90s heartthrob. Yes. Totally. JTT. Yes.
Listen, everyone, I like when you do this because I get to show my range.
Yeah. No, it's fantastic. I'm a big fan of your work. Honestly, though, the most blasphemous part of this movie is they decide to have like a rap battle between Shaq and the little kid. And it's to a classic song called We Genie. Once again, it requires a white man to show the black man how it's done. And it's excruciating. So great job, Disney. Way to tackle the race card in 1996. Well done. But out of nowhere, this kid tracks down his father. He just walks into some... it looks like him, right? It kind of looks like him. But you can see, like, he's a clearly good dad. There's a lot of love in those eyes.
That is such a 90s blazer he's got on, too.
It's, dude, this movie was so 90s. It was such a blast from the past. What's funny, too, is I watched it when I was a little kid, and I thought it was good. This time around, it was an excruciating watch. So he just tracks down his dad. He walks into some nightclub because, of course, a 12-year-old kid, he just has all access throughout the city. You know, why even ask a kid if they should be in a nightclub?
Did he have a skateboard?
No, he just fucking walked in. Because he's white. He's 12. He owns white.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. This piece of shit dad doesn't even recognize him because he left when the kid was two. And we really don't even know what he does for a living. Again, he works with the mob. It's some underground... Yeah, black market CD scam that's worth millions. All he does is host concerts. And of course, Kazam ends up on stage rapping. See, the mob boss somehow realizes that Kazam is actually a genie. How? We don't know. The plot doesn't matter. Details don't matter. They just gotta hit the mark. They keep it moving. So he beats the shit out of Max's dad for information. And the son finally gives in. That's when Max tries to use up a wish on his piece of shit father. But Shaq can't do it, because Kazam is just a genie. And stuff about love and life, that's only for Jinns. And yes, I feel very weird saying Jinn, because it feels racist. So I'm only gonna say Jinn one more time. Jinn. Also, at this point, Kazam has a record deal. That's another thing to mention. It's just, it's all over the place. Anyways, he can't do Max's bullshit wish. So while Kazam is rapping with 90s rap royalty, Debrat, it was great. She looked fantastic. It was great. It was great. The mob boss finally gets his hand on Max, and spoiler alert, he kills him. I totally forgot about this. I was shocked.
Wait, he killed the kid?
The mob boss killed the fucking... It was the best part of the movie. It was the only time that, like, I sat up and, like... Oh, shit. I gotta pay attention. This shit's good. But it was the only decent part of the film. The mob boss just straight up kills a 12-year-old boy. It's fantastic.
I mean, Alf basically did that to Tyler Hero tonight.
Yeah.
All right.
The screams of Max falling down an empty elevator shaft just summon Kazam. And at this moment, Shaq, he becomes an action star and he beats up everyone in the room. Then in some great 1996 CGI, he turns the mob boss into a basketball and slams him into a garbage can.
Is that Tony Fiorentino?
Because it's Shaq. It kind of looks like him. Kind of looks like him.
That's Dennis Farina.
Yeah, baby. So the climactic finish to this movie is that Kazam is holding a lifeless Max in his arms. And at this moment, Shaq is beside himself, saying this stupid kid was his only friend in over 10,000 years. It's the saddest shit I've ever heard, really. Shaq magically turns into God and just brings this kid back to life out of the love of his heart.
Well, Moose, you have to snort a line before you say Shaq turns into God.
Okay, how are we... I just picture, like, the writers being like, okay, so how are we going to get to this ending where Shaq is just... is giving him back to life? I got it! So we're going to kill the kid, all right? I'm going to throw him down an empty shaft. I don't know what happened to my mic here. And then Shaq will be resurrected. Just like Jesus. He magically turns into God. And they have a second. So Shaq says that he is now free and he's a Jinn. Only because Max's last wish was for his dad to have a second chance at life. And that wish was so loving that it freed him. So Max wakes up in a burning building being rescued by...
Moses, I can't listen anymore to this.
Well, I'm on the last paragraph. This is really good.
It's really so good. Fucking bad. Go ahead.
It's really good. It's really good.
It's so bad. I've never seen this movie.
No, but once you get to him turning into God, like, it's really, like, it's a really...
That did it for me, but go ahead.
It's a really joyful redemption story. You're going to see. So Max's dad also makes it out of the burning building alive. And he literally says to Max, I'm not making this up. He goes, this is so weird. Your giant Fred sent something to me about a second chance. And he looks at the kid and he goes, you're a good kid, Max. You got a big heart. But listen, I got to go take care of some stuff. And I got to go handle some business. So I'll be back in a couple of years. All right. We'll reconvene. We'll catch up again. Oh, we'll pick up this father-son relationship in like 15 years. All right. Kazam isn't your typical 90s kids movie. It's barely even a movie, all right? With a Rotten Tomatoes score of 5% and a Moose at the Movie score of -420, it will stand the test of time of one of the saddest Disney movies in their illustrious family film history and the worst knockoff impersonation of Robin Williams' beloved Blue Genie in Aladdin. But I do gotta give credit to Shaq in one way. He will always be remembered as one of the most dominant players in the NBA and one of the most dominant box office flaps in Hollywood history. Brass take me out.
Wow. No, but like actually take him out. Like fucking kill this dude. I'm sick of this shit.
Oh boy.
Alf, Brass, you want to read that?
Yeah. So from Jimmy postgame, Butler expressing frustration. I don't know what team is going to show up on any given night. Blames defensive issues in part on just being soft, scared of contact. He wants Bam to attack the rim more. He lets people off the hook. Play bully ball. Yikes.
Guess he been reading my tweets.
I think Bam just needs to become a, what is it, a Jin? Is that what I got from that?
I legit looked the word up. I was like, can I say this?
Yo, Jimmy's gonna show up to impress with sexy shoes, and he's gonna walk in and it's gonna be four janitors, and he's gonna say, all right, we're gonna play against y'all.
About to happen. Don't call Dwayne Dedman a janitor. I mean,
why didn't he play tonight?
I didn't wait a minute. First of all, Hold up. Sorry, Brass. Hold up. No, first of all, I said four janitors. I actually mean motherfuckers that wear the overalls.
Oh, I thought you meant Dwayne Dedman because he does look like a janitor. Dwayne Dedman has 84 keys on his keychain.
Oh, not again.
Brass. I'm sorry. Dwayne Dedman's entire wardrobe consists of Dickie's pants. What?
Nope.
You guys, nothing? Nothing from you guys? But no, that is a telling. Like, have you guys heard Jimmy talk like that?
No, yes, in Minnesota.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying.
On the Heat, though.
That's right. Jimmy, that's
Jimmy at the end of his rope, Jimmy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's about to get four nobodies and walk in the gym and tell everybody, let's go.
I mean, don't call Gabe Vincent a nobody, man. Like,
headliner.
About to get a spot in Utah.
Here's the thing, though. I think, right. Honestly, I think Bam is the guy to respond to that. Like, you hope so. Like, I think, like, if you're going to try to be optimistic about it, which I'm going to try to be optimistic about it, I do think Bam is the fucking kind of guy who's going to respond to Jimmy directly. And, like, if Jimmy's going to fucking bully him, I think Bam can fucking take it. I don't think Bam is Karl Anthony Towns or, like, fucking Joel Embiid in that way. Like, I think Bam's proven inability to push himself.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I think he's going to push himself real hard for a couple games, for sure. Mm.
But I don't even think that's bullying. I think that's just calling it what it is.
And I'm not. I don't want to be blaming Bam because Bam is really fucking.
No, but I don't think Jimmy's problems. Right, but I don't think Jimmy's bullying him.
He's not bullying. It's tough love. But I also think they've set up this rapport where maybe him and Kat clearly didn't have this kind of relationship. I do think him and Bam have this relationship because I think the other thing is that Kat is like this otherworldly, like highly heralded superstar. that, like, why the fuck would he listen to Jimmy Butler? Same thing with Joel Embiid. Bam has kind of that, like, underdog mentality that Jimmy does, I think.
But, this, but the, also, way this, the way this team looks right now, this is how people in the national media, they expected this team to look last year, the way they're
but
playing
it's,
right now.
It's a funny game when Bam goes 7-for-8 from the field, 3-for-5 from the free throw line to, you know, to say Bam is, you know, it's Bam. I mean, he only shot 8 times. And yeah, you can go at him, but like, there's a lot. Like the list,
he's not the biggest problem on this. No.
They also need guys to get him the ball. Like
exactly, they don't have, anybody to get they don't the have anyone. Ball. They can't even feed the post when he's in the post.
Hey, you know who would have got him the ball? Kyle fucking Lowry.
The only one getting fed out there is Bielitsa.
Yeah.
Oh.
Belly.
Fucking
slower and slower every game.
I'm like I'm really tired.
I'm sorry, y'all. He looks slower and slower every game.
I'm mad. I get mad at Bam, but I'm also mad at the fact that Bam has to run the fucking offense because we don't have a fucking point guard. Like, listen, like I'm so tired of blaming these players. Like, I really am. It's the Heat front office needs to catch a lot of fucking flack. And they try to fix it at the trade deadline. And you, what you did was you held your chips very close to your chest. And I don't completely blame you, right? You didn't pick up a point guard. What you did is you went for the cheap, easy option in Victor Oladipo, who we all know is fucking hurt all the time. So now the hopes of this season rest on Victor Oladipo's fucking raggedy-ass knees. And let's call it a spade, because it's legit. Tell me I'm wrong, because if Victor Oladipo is not healthy, this team may make it out the play-in round. They might have a chance of making it out the first round, given, like, let's say they draw the Knicks on a 4-5 matchup out of some grace of God. They're not making past the second round if Victor Oladipo isn't healthy. You went the budget route. You didn't want to play your cards because you still think you might get Bradley Beal or you might get Kawhi Leonard. You keep thinking, like, and honestly, if they do, then the gamble was right. But if you don't pull any of those fucking chips in the next few seasons, like, it's going to look real shitty that you wasted Jimmy's prime. And that's all I'm going to say. That's not actually all I'm going to say. I'm going to say a lot more until we cut off. But I know people think I sound harsh, but fuck. Like, you
sound harsh, because I'm gonna tell you, I don't, even if Victor comes back, he's gonna be 70%? He's not gonna be close to healthy if he comes back. Cause we only got so many games left. He's not gonna be healthy if he comes back. So what's the point of coming back?
And no.
Rush yourself, especially when you're going into the playoffs like that. Because in the playoffs, like, the speed intensifies. Like,
they got to stop looking for the great hope to walk in the door. They got to stop looking for that. Ain't nobody walking in.
Oladipo's in an interesting position where he's actually, normally a player would want to sit this out and not risk re-aggravation to your injury. But Oladipo does want to raise his value. So from
but you can't raise your value on roller skates. Like, he's not going to be healthy.
Right, but I'm always saying that.
I'm always saying you can't raise your value on roller skates. That's a saying in the Alfonso family. We got enough pillows.